Good morning. I welcome you here today to the house of the Lord in this special service that I am so excited for and preparing for the last couple of weeks, because not too often do we have an opportunity like this in one of the Lord's most precious ordinances. And today we have not one, not two, but three blessings. And that is a wonderful thing.
Bless the Lord and my soul, oh my soul. Worship is holy. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship is holy. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing. Your song called in. Whatever may pass, whatever may be for me, continue singing when the evening comes. The Lord of my soul, oh my soul, worship is whole. Amen. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship you whole. Amen. You lay down up and you kneel down and you face and your heart is calm. When all your goodness I will give on singing, 10,000 reasons in my heart to find. With the Lord of my soul, oh my soul, worship is holy.
Praise the Lord. Jeff, Gene, if there's any scheduling, if we can get Jeff to sing more, and it be Zelda, I'm all right with it. For a call to worship today, I've chosen out of Psalm 100, and if we could, I would like us all to read along. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is he God. It is he that hath made us, and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth all generations. We are blessed today to have Elder Peter Cornish bring forth the word. Peter and his wife, Erin, and their family are in Columbia, Missouri, so he doesn't get a chance to come this way too often, but just wanted to lift him up to you for a blessing.
It's a great pleasure to be here. Look forward to this. I don't remember exactly when. Christina and Andrew reached out to me and asked if I would be able to come out and share a little bit during this day. And you know, it's always wonderful when we have ordinances of the church such as this, because we can see the condescension of God, his love for us, and the opportunity that we have to see a little bit of the divine. But also we joy in the opportunity to be with more people, with friends and family, and with those that maybe we haven't met, but have the opportunity to today. You know, I was thinking about this, and it's a great pleasure for me. This is, most of my cousins are here from my mom's side of the family. Guess we won't fault Jen for not being here. And I see Sue in the back. I know she misses me, and of course I miss her as well. And of course, some of her and Joe's children, and it's a great pleasure to be here. Of course, my mom and sisters and friends. Many of you I've known for a long time. Many of you I don't know. But we've come today to celebrate the opportunity to bless three children. We come for the opportunity to see what God has in store for the lives of these three young people. And because of that, it brings me great joy. I've had the opportunity in my life to see, participate, observe, you know, many baby blessings before. The youngest I've probably blessed was about 2 weeks old. And that child lived in the town of Niamata in Rwanda. The youngest I've seen being blessed was actually in the hospital in Butare, which is also in Rwanda. The oldest I've blessed is one old enough to sit on the lap of her parent. I don't remember exactly how old, but 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. But nonetheless, the Lord loves all of the children and has a desire for all of them to have the opportunity to learn of his ways. And you know, we find in the scriptures opportunities when children were brought unto Christ, and we'll talk about that. But I was also reminded in preparation for today of a testimony that I had of when God reached out and blessed the life of a child. About a year ago in March, I had the opportunity with my brother BJ to go to Rwanda. And I've been there now 3 times, but this is the 2nd time that we went. And 2 of those that went with me, I went with them. Zoe and Nicole are here today. We went again in August. And so part of the testimony took place in both of those events. But in the first, I was really excited to go down to Butare. And when we were down there, there were a bunch of saints that came from a small village. And travel there is not so easy as it is here. Many of us came by car, or some of us came yesterday, this weekend by plane, or however we arrived here today. So there was a bunch of them that came by bus, and we had a communion service, and there was preaching. And with the opportunity to share with the people there, and you know the story I'll share in a little bit, about how when Jesus came, he was very concerned about the welfare of people and about their sicknesses, about their physical health. So after the service, we asked if anyone was sick or needed prayers. And in our church, we follow the pattern that was set forth in the scriptures where it says, if any is sick among you, let him call upon the elders. And so we did that. And some of you know this story. This is probably one of the greatest experiences of my life because at least half the people in the congregation raised their hand. So we proceeded after the service to go back into a room and administer to these people and to pray for them. And they came in one by one, and we opened the door, and there was another one waiting. And this is the closest I've ever been used, for those of you that are familiar. We store olive oil in a vial. I almost went through an entire one that afternoon because there were so many people. There are so many people in this world that need the Lord and his healing. And as I mentioned, there was one particular child, and we found out about this afterwards when we went again in August, but there was a child that when they were coming from the village to Butare, which is a larger city, that the baby was crying and carrying on the whole time. And during the service and during the communion, the baby was crying and carrying on the whole time. And you know, it's not as common as in Kenya, but there are a lot of sicknesses like malaria and so forth. And I don't know what this child was suffering from, but there was a high fever, and the baby was very uncomfortable. And so Chris Capps and I, we administered to this child, and the baby was healed. And Chris said that when he saw the mother take the child out, he saw the smile on the child's face. It was the most beautiful he'd ever seen. And he shares about the story, and he talks about how when he saw that smile, he thought and saw what the kingdom of God was like in the face of that young child. And so when we went back in August, we had the opportunity to go down there again, and we were sharing testimonies. Many of those people that we administered to that day stood up and bore witness of the healing power of God and the opportunity that God blessed them for that. And this mother was there, and she shared. And she bore witness that God had blessed her child. And it was a great blessing for us. And I wish that we would have had more opportunity, because that mother has probably one of the greatest voices in singing that I've ever heard. And so we were blessed by her ministry the second time. And we find in Scripture where Jesus called upon the children, and the disciples wanted to prevent them from coming to Jesus. We also find in the Book of Mormon, there's a story which is quite interesting. And we read the story in many opportunities when we have baby blessings. We read the story about how the children came and were blessed. And there were many things that happened there. Now the thing is, we forget what initiated that experience. So we know that Jesus came to the people. And he came to bear witness of the Father and to do his bidding. And when they came, they had the opportunity to be blessed by the Lord. But when Jesus was there, he told them all to go away because they had been talking and discussing and all sorts of things. And so Jesus was there and he was teaching them. And he told all of the people to go home because it was late and they were tired. But the people didn't leave because they wanted to be with Jesus. They wanted that opportunity to be with them. And because of that experience, one of the very next things that happened was that experience I talked about relative to where Jesus blessed the children. And because of their desires, they were blessed, and their children were blessed. And so we have the opportunity today to receive that blessing if we have faith and we're willing to open ourselves to the Lord. It is interesting in our lives, we have many opportunities to choose Him. But this is one of them, generally, where we don't have that choice when we come before the Lord, because it rests and relies on the faith and desires of the parents to bring the children before the elders of the church to pray for that child. And so we do this because we love these children. We do this because we want those children to have a great opportunity to learn of God, to learn of His ways, and to learn what He has in store for them. As you'll see, there will be three babies that are blessed this day. Two of them I'm related to, and as far as I know, I'm not related to the other. You know, there's a lot of history in the church and so forth, we may be connected. But that being said, my hopes and desires for all three children are the same. I hope that the parents have the opportunities and the blessings of life to be able to take care and to provide for their children and to provide them the opportunity to learn of Him. I pray that the children might grow up strong and have the opportunity to be a blessing to all of us, that we might see through their lives opportunities that are great. When blessings are given on children and prayers are said, oftentimes we pray for the protection of children, for their opportunity to grow up to know the Lord. Also, we pray that ultimately the child might have an opportunity to learn of Him. But I would say that one of the important aspects of this event is that we all acknowledge our responsibility, whether it is as a parent, as a relative, or as a friend, to find ways that we can reach out to these three children, provide them opportunities to hear of our testimonies and to learn about God. And so it's a great joy for me to be here, and unfortunately, I guess, you have to listen to me again in a few minutes, and so I won't steal any of my time now, then from now. And so I would like to say that I look forward to this event, and I have for a long time. May God bless these parents and these children and all of us as we seek to uphold, to establish His kingdom in this area. And may God bless you in all things.
We bow before You.
Ruth Neal will be blessed by her grandfathers, 70 Richard Neal and Elder Mike Sagala.
Selah Ruth Neal, we lay our hands upon you for the purpose of blessing. O God, our eternal Father, we all thank you for this precious gift which has been placed into our midst. You have prepared her to come into our lives, and in this day, she is special to us as we know she is special to you. We pray, Father, that you grant unto her those blessings that she will be in need of. We pray for your watch care and your protection. We pray for her mother and father. We dedicate, Father, this baby unto you. And we do so with the agreement of the parents, as they would dedicate her life. We pray that in her life that she would be filled with your blessing and your spirit, that she might always have that connection to you. And so, Father, as elders in the church, we pray the outpouring of your spirit through this ordinance for blessing of family and of Selah Ruth, and of her brother, Richard Harvey. May they together form a family that will be a blessing to others. And so we dedicate them for this purpose. We pray your choicest blessings upon Selah, and we ask and seal it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Rory Eldred Heyman, son of Tyler and Molly Heyman, brother of Warner, will be blessed by her grandfathers, Elder Danny Height and Elder Randy Heyman.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is with great
joy and a privilege before thee as Randy and I, who are Rory's earthly grandfathers, are given this privilege and opportunity and blessing to lift up little Rory unto thee now for your blessing according to your word. And you have given that the children are to be brought by their parents and they are to receive a blessing. And so, Father, this sacred ordinance we recognize as so important, as you've said, that the power of godliness is made manifest unto man through the priesthood and through these ordinances such as these, that we might be able to be prepared to come unto thee and unto thy presence. And so we present little Rory at this time. Gracious Father, when I first laid eyes on him, your Spirit spoke in such ways to my heart to know that here you've given us a little peacemaker. We pray, Father, that he might be the recipient of blessings, that those of moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and his friends, and that we might all help him grow in this way that you've given him. That as a child of peace, Father, it says that you are that he is also your child in the Beatitudes. And so, Father, we ask your blessing upon him, upon his parents, that he might be given the gift of health in body and mind and spirit, that he might be safe, and that he might be continue in happiness, Father. And we ask, too, that in those times when none of us are around, moms and dads and those who love him, that those guardian angels that you've dispatched might be with him to protect him and to bless him until he comes to that age of accountability, Father, to go before thee in for the future ordinance. And in doing so, Father, that this blessing might be sure and he is placed upon a firm foundation this day. And to this end, Father, and to your glory, we ask this blessing upon Rory Eldred Hayman, that his name would be written in that record, even that heavenly record now, and that it might be so, that it would be his life would be a blessing to many. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eleanor Cramps, daughter of Michael and Kate Cramps, will be blessed by her grandfather, 70 Richard Neal, and Elder Peter Cornish.
Has not been feeling well today, so we feel it wise to allow Mom to hold her. Eleanor Luna Cramps, you will not remember much of this day, but let it be said that we lay our hands upon you to bless you. O God, our eternal Father, once again we come before thee for the blessing of a precious child of your creation. We thank you for Eleanor being in our midst. We know that each mom and dad has felt this very same. And so we thank you that you have placed her with goodly parents. Father, we pray your choicest blessing upon her. We pray that in her days that those gifts and talents that you have given to her will be magnified. And wherever she might be found in this world, that she might do good. We pray that she will be pleasing unto thee. And we know that you have placed a marvelous spirit within Eleanor. and those who have been blessed this day. And so, Father, we thank you. We dedicate her life unto thee, and we pray your choicest blessings to be upon her. May she grow to be aware of your presence and of the love of her parents and grandparents and family. We come here as a congregation to support these families in this endeavor. And now, Father, thank you. We pray your blessing upon her and seal it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Again, what a joyful event it is to be here. And certainly that is the focus of this service. And Larry and I, when we were talking about the service, it was suggested that we move some of my remarks after so that we make sure that we realize that that is the focus that we all have, is to be here to support those young families and those children as they are very young and as they will move forward in their lives in various endeavors. It reminds me of the story in the scriptures in 1 Samuel. When there was a woman by the name of Hannah who had a great desire to have a child because she couldn't have one. And I'll just read a couple of scriptures from that story. Find this in the book of Samuel, properly named, as that was the name of her child. In verse 11 it says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a child, that I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And in 22 it says, "But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband," this is after the child was born, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." So here was a woman, like many of the women here, who have their own children, who had desires to have children and to bring them to the Lord and to provide opportunities for that child in their life, to do those things that would bring great joy to the mother, to their family, and certainly to the Lord. You know, at this point, as we have prayed and as the prayers of blessing have been there for the children, and as you listen to the words given by family members over the heads of those children, it brings me great joy and to know that there is a lot of love that is available to all of those children, to be there to support them through their whole lives, to be able to be there to guide them, to do those things that should bring them closer to Him. And so reflecting upon where we're sending these families forth and where we're sending these children forth, we have the opportunity to think about what is the purpose for life and what is the purpose for which children have been brought here. And you know, this question is one that has been asked over the millennia. Why am I here? What am I doing? And what should I do with my life? And you know, there are immediate and certainly long-term decisions that we have to make relative to these questions. What sorts of schools should we put our children in? What should we teach them? What sorts of friends should they have? What are their interests? What sports should they play? What activities should they be involved with? Ultimately, what sort of college should they go to, or if they don't go to college, maybe a trade school or something like that. And so certainly the blessings and prayers have been said, but there will be many decisions that need to be made by the parents, by the children themselves, as they grow into childhood, teenagers, young adults, and maybe at some future date have children of their own. But still, what is the underlying principle or purpose we have been placed here? I have found that there is an answer to that question. And that answer I've shared with some of you many times. And this is probably my favorite scripture. It's from the book of Alma, the 16th chapter. It says, "Yea, I would that you would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. Now, as I said unto you before, as ye have so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end." And so the scripture tells us that the purpose of our life is to prepare ourselves to meet Him, to meet our Heavenly Father. And so the experiences of life, the friends, maybe in some cases the enemies, and all the situations that may present themselves to you in your life and in the life of these three young children are meant and will be there for them to prepare to meet God. Now, the scripture says nothing about all the events in life will be good, and those good events will prepare to meet God. This means that our life is, the totality of it. And so there may be times in their lives that will be difficult. There may be physical pain. There may be emotional pain. There may be times when they are separated from loved ones, when they have difficulties at work, in life, at school, wherever it may be. Great stress and trials and tribulations. And at those times we may ask, where is God? And maybe we even have opportunities in life to doubt that there is one. But as we know from Romans, it also says all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to the purpose. All things. Again, it doesn't say there that everything that's going to happen to you is going to be good. All things work for the good. And that good is to prepare ourselves to meet God. So count it all joy when you run into many afflictions. For we know by the trial of our faith comes patience and many other things. So we will have difficulties in our life just as they will. And it's important for us to love them, to love each other, and to be there for each other so that we can bring each other through those trials and tribulations on the other side in a more particular, wonderful way. Because we know at the end of it all, when we leave this life, as the scripture tells us, that we will go to our Heavenly Father. And the manner with which we go to see Him will be determined by the lives that we have led. And if we have used this life as a trial period to perfect our faith, to perfect those attributes that we have that might bring us closer to Him, when we see His face, He will smile. But if we don't do those things which will bring us closer to Him, it will be an uncomfortable meeting. You know, that's the overall fundamental purpose and meaning of life, is to prepare us for that. Yes, that is a generalization, but it is true. But you know, each of us also have a specific reason why we were brought here. Now, in the great work of our Lord, there is no one role that is greater than any other. Because all of these roles are important and necessary and sufficient to bring about the establishment and moving forward of His kingdom in this earth. And I'm interested in lots of things. If you don't know me, I'm a scientist. There are a lot of things that interest me besides science, surprisingly enough. And I look at history and different things like that. And one time I remember looking at, maybe you've done the same, historical artifacts that have no knowledge or specific reason why they exist or what they do. And there are many of them. There are manuscripts that people can't translate, and there are different things like that. But one is very simple, and it's very common. There's this thing called the Roman dodecahedron. I don't know if any of you have heard of this, but dodecahedron has 12 sides, and there's holes in each of the sides. And they are quite abundant, and they're found all throughout Europe and in the British Isles and things like that. And they're very, seem to be very valuable because they're in different regions where either large amounts of money or important things were, artifacts were stored. But nobody really knows what they were used for. These dodecahedrons weren't mentioned, so far as we know, in any manuscript that the Romans wrote. Nobody's been able to figure out what they've been used for, whether they hold candles or whether they're used for, who knows what they're used for. But the purpose is not defined for this particular device, and it's very abundant. And you know, maybe in your life today, you are kind of like a Roman dodecahedron. That you don't know why you specifically have been placed. Yes, I told you generally why you're here, but what is your role and your job relative to the things that I mentioned? You know, very few of us Christians, if the world were to go on for a long time and somebody were to write our story of this time period, I know for a fact my name wouldn't be mentioned. And many of us wouldn't be mentioned either. And if somehow somebody figured out about our existence, maybe they didn't know what our purpose was. But God knows what that is. He's the one that allowed you to come here, that brought you here. And he's the one that obviously knows the purpose with which you've been given this life and the role that you've been given. You know, a favorite story of mine, my second daughter, is named Esther, after the queen. And there's that scripture that we know, you know, maybe it is that you've been brought for such a time as this. And if you don't know the story surrounding Esther, I don't have time to go into all of that. I recommend you go and back and read that. But she had a very specific role and purpose in her life, and she fulfilled that. Now, this Roman dodecahedron I mentioned, it would be interesting if we were able to travel back in time and ask somebody that owned one of these, well, what are you using this for? Well, certainly this is what I used it for, and then it would be obvious once they told us. Now, if you're one of those, like me at various times in my life, not knowing exactly what your purpose and role is, who can you ask to find out what that is? Well, certainly the one that made you and the one that has been involved in your life and uses you. And so these same hopes and desires, again, I have for these children, that they have the opportunities in life to be taught of the Lord, and to be taught why they're here generally, is to learn about him and to prepare ourselves to meet our Heavenly Father, because all of us will be brought before him. But also, in God's great work, he has many employees, many roles and jobs. All of us have been given a job, and again, if we don't have that purpose, it's like we may receive payment or reward, but we're not doing anything for it. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, going to the University of Missouri day after day and just walking around campus and getting paid to walk around campus and not having a job. That wouldn't last very long. I'm sure my employers would be quite disappointed in me. And, you know, maybe they are already, but that would make them a little bit more disappointed. So think about that for you and your life, and also for those of you that will have interactions with these children, whether they're the grandparents, whether they're the parents, the aunts and the uncles, the cousins, whoever they might be, it is your responsibility to be involved in their life. It's your responsibility to pray for them. It is your responsibility to teach them of how God has touched your life. And if you're at a stage where you're unsure or haven't been touched by the life of God, there's that opportunity today to seek. Now, the scripture says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. But again, it doesn't say ask and you shall receive what you've asked for. It says ask and you shall receive. So you have to have faith in God so that when you ask him and are open to how he interacts with you, you will receive what God has a desire to teach you of himself. And when you seek him, you shall find him. And it may be difficult at times for you to discern exactly what you see or what it is that you understand. There is a wide diversity of people here in terms of our backgrounds, in terms of our religious backgrounds, what churches we went to, what churches we were brought up in, or maybe not. But there is one God, and he loves you. And it is a great desire for you to come unto him and to receive from him the greatest of all gifts. You know, there's a great scripture. And you know, I used this once. I use it many times, but I use it once that I remember. This scripture comes from Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Those of you that don't know me, I don't have a brother, but I have gained many brothers in life. And one of those I attend with regularly in Columbia Church. And I had the great fortune of calling him to the office of elder. And he's been doing that now for a number of years in quite a great capacity. And when I went to his house, I took it very seriously. I made sure that I was dressed up and I went. And of course, he thought it was a little weird. I came dressed up in a suit and tie. But I went in there and I read this scripture to him. And this comes from the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." What God offers to all of us is a better life. He offers to us the opportunity to receive of the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. And if those are things that you lack in your life, if those are things you want in your life, then seek for him. And again, as the scripture in Isaiah says, come by. Come by from me, the Lord. And it's free. And that greatest gift is a gift of eternal life. Eternal life is to know him, our Heavenly Father, and his Son, whom he has sent. And so it's a great pleasure and joy for me to be here. And if I don't know you, it would be great for me to meet you. And for those of you I've known since the day I was born, or even more recent, I love you all. I look forward to fellowship with you now and in the future. Thank you.